Hi again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 528. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. This is actually free of charge, including postage and handling. Just please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape. So, free of charge. And you can play it over and over again because these messages do cover a lot of territory, and you'll want to hear them again especially if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, I've got some music tonight. I've got letters and I've got Bible scriptures. Let's go to the Lord, Lord ask you to anoint this program, anoint everything that's said on the program. Open up the spirits of people, their spirits, because those that worship the Lord must worship you in spirit and in truth. And the truth is according to the Word of God, not our own judgments, not our own interpretation, because there's no private interpretations by your Word, the Bible, but to worship you in our spirit, into your spirit, and truth, which is the only truth in the world is your word. And the word is Jesus. He is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto you, Father, but by him, but through him. So, Lord, anoint, let my lips and my tongue be the vessel that you use to get your words across in this service, this program tonight, this afternoon, this morning, whenever people are listening, that souls can be saved and this church strengthened, and that Satan may be destroyed. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. Now, right now, Gary S. Paxton. Yeah, I believe he's one of the very best Christian songwriter and producer and directors, arrangers of these songs. He has recorded so many superstars that it's just unreal. And he wrote these two songs that we're going to be playing on the program tonight. And he doesn't sing on them. He has a woman by the name of Dorothy J. Love to sing The Prayer, The Plea by Gary S. Paxton. The music was arranged and directed by him, and he wrote all the words. And I pray that this will put an end to one of the most vile things going on earth today. Here Dorothy is to sing for you The Prayer, The Plea.
You know, last night I had a dream that while I was on my knees praying for an answer, my unborn child quietly pleaded with me to spare her life. She said, "Mama, Mama, right now you feel you can't rejoice, and I know you're struggling to make this choice. The counsel you've had is confusing to you, so now you're in agony over what to do. Oh, Mama, please, don't throw me away. Don't you know this will hurt you one day? If you throw me away, you'll be stealing my choice to enter this world and to add my voice. The counselors told you I was just a seed, a little problem that you didn't need. but I'm a person right now, a life, a soul. God has already planned my destiny and goals. They say I'm an accident, inconvenient for you. They say that abortion is the smart thing to do, that to take care of me is impossible now. Don't believe that lie, Mama. God knows how. Maybe I wasn't conceived in a godly way, but for anybody who will kneel and pray, God is faithful. He will forgive. So please, Mama, please let me live. Ignore those voices that reason with you, that abortion is the only wise thing to do. My life is a gift that God has formed, and you'll see this truth if you'll let me be born. Don't listen to that sinful and negative voice that says there's no option. You do have a choice. Forget that death clinic. Just say you won't go. There's greatness inside me. But how will you know if you have this abortion and help murder me, casting me away like so much debris? I know this all seems so hopeless now, but God will provide, Mama. You know He knows how. Abortion is tempting, but please don't give in. Taking my life would be a greater sin than the act that brought on all this despair. If no one else wants me, Mama, you must care. Even Daddy tells you his career will be robbed, that he's just not ready for this awesome job. He even brought you the abortionist's fee so you could go to the clinic and get rid of me. Your parents say you've embarrassed them, that this mistake makes your future grim, that without a husband or a college degree, there's just no way you can take care of me, that if you carry me through, you'll have no home, and you'll have to deal with your mess alone. But my life was precious when I was just a seed. And one day you'll learn that I'm the child you need. You don't know this, Mama. It's just too far away. But you are going to need my help one day. When you become sick and can no longer do, Daddy's going to pack up and walk out on you. And I'll always stick by you and bear the cost. But if you throw me away now, your security is lost. I'm the one God chose to rescue you. Can't you see this great wrong they're making you do? To carry me, they say, just doesn't make sense. But you're the one who'll bear the consequence. Don't throw me away. Go with your heart. If their counsel was right, it wouldn't tear you apart. And one day as I swab your feverish lid, and you remember what you almost did, you'll thank our God that you changed your mind and looked to the cross for that decisive sign and trusted my life to God's sovereign truth, that you were Naomi and I was your roof. But I need you now, Mama, to keep me alive. How else will I help you if I don't survive? And don't worry about tomorrow. Just decide today to let yourself love me. And don't throw me away. Please, Mama, don't throw me away. Don't throw me away. Don't throw me away, Mama. Please, don't throw me away.
set before you this day, life and death. Therefore, choose life.
Dorothy J. Love, singing one of Gary S. Paxton's best. We have many masters here that Gary wrote and produced and directed and arranged. Dorothy J. Love, The Prayer, The Plea. All right, this one of the other things that, you know, most people don't want to be, they're just too delicate to hear that if you do that, that's first-degree murder. And your soul will spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire if you don't get forgiveness for that and live a godly Christian life to the very end. There's false prophets that say you don't have to live a godly life to the very end, but that's the exact opposite of what the Bible says. So, yeah, you know, I've been bringing messages on the greatest weapons to destroy the souls of every generation that has ever heard it. And that here's these satanic words in song. And I'm going to be getting into some of the beautiful songs that are able to give life. So the tongue is able to bring forth life or to bring forth death. Music can do the same thing. As I mentioned in the message the other day, that Satan was one of the finest musician in the kingdom of heaven. And when he was thrown out of heaven and he hit this earth, the Lord didn't take that gift away. There's many people that are gifted and they were raised in Sunday school. You know many of them. And then they started to give the talent that the Lord gave them for the devil. The Lord doesn't take it away because he would then have for himself a robot. And God doesn't want robots to worship him. He wants you to choose this day who you will serve. Will it be the Lord God, so that you can have life, or will it be Satan? The gifts that you have, you can give to the Lord, or you can give them to Satan. The Lord wants to see what you're going to do. He tries us all. He never tempts us. The devil is the one that tempts you. But what he does is he tries you. He allows you to be tempted. He even sent his son out into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, to test him, to see what kind of metal he was made of. And, of course, Jesus prevailed. And those that have Jesus by the Spirit, when Jesus arose from the dead and then ascended into the kingdom of heaven, he rose out of death, hell, and the grave, ascended into heaven, he became the life-giving Spirit. And then he, when we call on him, or when you call on him, this evening, he, by the Spirit, will move into your spirit, and you'll be born again of the Spirit, because you have to make that choice. The Lord isn't going to make you do it. You have to make the choice. If you make that choice, you go to heaven. If you don't make that choice, well, you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire, chewing on your tongue and grinding your teeth and crying out for pain. The worst kind of pain that people could ever imagine. Well, I have some letters this evening. And Sharon, where's the first one from?
From Kita, Ghana, Africa.
Okay, let's hear what they have to say.
Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, it is one of the great victories for mankind over Satan that you were born, established, and anointed as God's prophet of the end time.
Well, I say that the Lord could have raised up stones to give praise and honor and glory unto him. But I'm glad that I was one of those stones, praise the Lord. And he can use you in the same way, brother or sister, whoever this is coming from. Then what?
I am hereby sending you and your family my Calvary greetings and also the members of your beloved ministry. May the God of peace exalt you above your enemies. I have come across your literature, which is full of anointing from one of my workmates. I have been so heavily moved by the contents that I put my pen into writing this letter with delight and without delay for more spiritual counseling on how to live a good spiritual life. Also, the contents of the literature has enlightened my mind to know who I am in Christ Jesus. Dear Pastor, I want to make some very important requests that I believe will meet your favorable consideration. Because I would love to be rooted and complete in Christ, I want you to send me some literature, both in English and French. I'm interested in reading them. I beg you also to send me a Bible dictionary and some Messiah books. My soul and my spirit will be full of praises to the Sovereign Lord for granting my requests. Thanks to God that I will receive them in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Your child in Christ, Papa Fred Mensa from Quito, Ghana.
Well, praise the Lord. Recently, we've received some pretty good-sized tithes, and not in the millions of dollars by any means, but we've been able to send out more literature. As soon as it comes in, we spend it on bills, and we spend it on the gospel field. Costs many, many thousands of dollars to be on the air, and also just the shipping bills alone to send overseas is enormous. And so we do get tithes now. A lot of people are believing the gospel that I'm preaching. By the millions, people are believing. And so the tithes have picked up. And of course, we still work and make finances. And so do you have another letter there?
Yes, I do.
Okay, where is this one from?
From Azuzu, Malawi, Africa.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Lamo, first and foremost, hallowed be the name of the Lord for linking a great man of God like you to me in the spiritual realm. Pastor, I want to say thank you for what you have done for me by sending me the Holy Bible, the Messiah book, which I am blessed with every day, and your newsletters, which are so inspiring. I also want to say thanks to all your ministers, not forgetting your church members, for every contribution they make for us to have such hidden treasures. God bless them all. Talking about your newsletters, indeed they are very helpful to us who are heading to heaven. As I have read through them, you have moved me from one level of faith to another. Your newsletters are so inspiring that they have an impact on everyone who reads them, and your personal testimonies are so touching and show that God is using you for saving lost souls through your messages, and I cannot see any myths in your newsletters. Now I can see that if you send me more of your newsletters, they can help many in this city of Mazuzu. Here in this city, we have one focal point where so-called Christians from different denominations meet for lunch, even though they are not yet saved. I believe that through your newsletters and the messages of salvation, it will help them to receive Christ as their personal Savior. It is also a privilege to reach out to every office with the gospel through your newsletters. Pastor, we are here to raise the roof of the kingdom of God through the one who gives us strength, none other than Jesus. Now, by the mercies of the Lord, please send me several assorted newsletters. If possible, please send any other books also that will help my spiritual life, because the Bible says in the book of Proverbs that iron sharpens iron. And the Bible also says that he who walks with the wise shall be wise. May God bless you in your ministries in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Flywheel Kaliza Banda, your brother in Christ, from Azuzu, Malawi, Africa.
All right. Praise the Lord. Those are wonderful. Make sure that this man is totally stocked with literature so that he can continue soul winning. And everyone that wins and distributes the literature and people are being saved, you get the same reward that I do and everyone else in this ministry. And all those of you that will not rob God, but you will pay your tithes and offerings so we can get more literature out, you are definitely going to be able to get the same rewards that we are. Now, the Bible is full of music, and that's because heaven is full of music. If you do not enjoy inspirational music that is inspired by the Holy Spirit, you will never get to heaven. And if you ever did, but you won't, you'll never enjoy heaven. So But there's the greatest weapons that destroy souls is this lascivious music. The tongue has the ability to kill and to make alive. The Lord wants to see what kind of music that we're going to use. We can use music like you heard Gary Paxton arranging, and he wrote, and heard Dorothy J. Love sing, the prayer, the plea, and another one, Never Give Up, by Gloria Elliott at the end of the program. Or you can listen to this sensual, sexual, satanic, witch music that has, it just brings down lust on you, filth and corruption. It has been fact that even as some music can be so divinely inspired that it will turn many people to God and lift up their souls in worship and draw them into a state of spiritual ecstasy. But at the same way, now this song that we just played here, Gary Paxton's song, Dorothy J. Love, the prayer, the plea is to convict your soul and to show you the truth of the gospel from this song. But Gary doesn't get as explicit about your soul, saying, Mommy, your soul will go to hell. I'll go to heaven. You're going to hell. And Daddy's going to hell as well. So that is a conviction way of spiritual ecstasy. You should be praising and thanking the Lord because the Lord is showing you what will happen to you if you do these things or continue doing them if you have no forgiveness from them, from those sins. But in the same way, Satan's satanical music will destroy and bring a curse on everyone who touches or has anything to do with it. And it'll send your soul to hell because you've chosen. We have two choices, either the heavenly music or hell music. You have two choices, to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, to accept God, or to accept Satan. If faith in God comes by hearing, and which the Bible says, and hearing by the word of God, so also if you hear Satan music and you keep hearing it, it will destroy your soul. It'll warp your soul, your mind, and destroy your soul, your mind, and your body. Such is the story about some of the symphonies which have won great acclaim and fame, or should I say infamy, through the sinister death and tragedies that have accompanied their rendering these symphonies. I can tell you about some of them. Everybody today knows that this is death music. Nobody really feels good when they hear it. Like you get the good from hearing the Lord's music. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of heaven divine. But this death music, nobody really feels good when they hear it. It causes people to kill people. It causes people to commit suicide. I have a list of well-known artists that died in their early teens, 20s, and 30s. Many of them have committed suicide. So if it caused them to commit suicide, and it has caused countless thousands of young people to commit suicide. So from Tchaikovsky's Sixth Symphony, if you were to give a recording of it to some musicians, they would actually turn pale, and they would consider it to be a gift of death that they're giving to you. Either their own or that of someone they love, someone close to them. There was a belief shared by noted conductors, as many of them, including Arturo Toscanini, who has seen such a multitude of musicians refusing to play or even listen to the Sixth Symphony, that's nothing in comparison again to what they are doing today. Toscanini thought that the tortured soul of Tchaikovsky was imprisoned in the dreadful cage or in the pit of hell. Tchaikovsky was Tsarist Russia's most famous composer. He died mysteriously in 1893 after conducting the orchestra in the premiere of the particular symphony. His death has never been explained, nor that of a young nephew and a fellow musician who followed him to the grave. This cycle of death and tragedies continued to accompany this symphony. One of the most startling was the double death of Maestro Joseph Gabriel I don't really know how to pronounce this guy's name, but I know he spells it L-O-W-I-T-S-C-H. And also a great young clarinetist, Ray Schmidt, who died in view of a Detroit audience in 1935. Internationally known conductor Victor Kohler, K-O-L-A-R, said, "I had played the pathetic quick movement 15 times in the past 25 years. Each of those times, someone dear to me has died." Saint Cyr's, Damn Macabre. Like many other conductors and musicians, Toscanini said he would have nothing more to do with this composition. It had brought too many gruesome deaths to the world of classical music. He had made the decision triumphant South America tour with the NBC Orchestra. After a brilliant rendition of it, he saw one of his violinists walk into the street as if in a trance and died hideously and violently under the wheels of a big truck. Hitler himself was afraid of it and tried to suppress his feared composition without any success whatsoever. When the famous battleship Graf Spree was scuttled on the Führer's orders, Captain Hans Langsdorff cut his own throat while listening to a bootleg recording of this music. The opera, Charles VI by composer Helvey, made his appearance in 1849 with a gala premiere in Paris. But terrified stagehands rang down the curtain when this tenor named Eugene Masol began to sing the aria. Quote, "O God, kill him," was said. And as if one cue, another member of the cast screamed and fell stone dead. On the second night of the beginning of the same aria, a wealthy opera patron, Pierre Dupont, died of a stroke. Incredibly, on the third night, orchestra leader Kurt Habermehl was the victim of a fatal heart attack. The opera company closed its doors, and for 9 years the opera was mothballed. The Emperor Napoleon III insisted by revived promising to attend the first performance. An elite audience waited more than an hour for the Emperor to arrive. The nervous musicians tuned and retuned their instruments. When tension had grown to the breaking point, manager René Chartres crept like a frightened ghost onto the apron of the stage and announced, quote, "Due to unfortunate and unforeseen circumstances, there will be no performance tonight," unquote. The audience sat in stunned silence. En route to the opera house, the imperial coach had been attacked by anarchists, and more than 100 people were killed in the ensuing panic. Napoleon barely escaped with his life. From behind locked palace gates, he issued a single harsh statement. There would be no further performance of the opera in France, nor any other country, as it later turned out. Has there ever been a performance of Charles VI? The composer died in poverty, as haunted as the music that he had created. Satanic music, information taken from Weekly World News, February 14, 1984. I believe that even as Satan has attracted himself or attached himself to certain music and inspired it so that it brings death to persons, such as the performers and hearers, also much of our present day literature, books, and music have the same taint of evil and corruption upon them, which will bring destruction and death to those who touch it. This is also, you know, the government, the things that they're doing. You could, if I just did a check, I could go on the, have some of my people go on the website and check all the people in government that have died attempting to destroy Christians and that are attempting to destroy the gospel and music. This is also true of some radio and television programs. Many of God's own children sit for hours in front of satanically inspired entertainment and entertainers and allow themselves to partake or be poisoned of the, quote, tree of death, unquote, because Satan has already given them an appetite for it. I'd like to later talk about and bring everyone's attention to heavenly, anointed, and inspired music. But before I do, you can look at all these rap stars who have been killed, murdered, And look at all the ones that have committed suicide and have died from drugs, such as Elvis Presley and many others. They use every kind, not Elvis, but every kind of filthy word there is in the book with these rappers and other people today. It's impossible to turn television on without hearing it. I'll be doing this next message, I believe, God willing, in just a few seconds here. So you didn't know that the saints are going to judge the world? Well, I'm going to judge you with all the other saints, but I'm going to use the word of God to do that. And that's what I'm doing now, is giving you the judgments of the Lord so that you are not indigent. Are you so indigent to, in other words, void of the word of God, the knowledge of the word of God, to judge such little things? We are to judge little things that are by the word of God, and also big things as well. I'll just give you a few people that have died in unusual ways. Janis Joplin, Jim Hendricks, Keith Moon of The Who, Kurt Cobain. You can read the rest of them, Sharon, here. I left off right there.
John Lennon.
He was shot to death. Some people, just his music, they say, have caused a lot of people. They thought people, the drugs were in a lot of kids, and they thought that the Beatles were on drugs. And they were. And they were subliminally, by the power of Satan, getting everybody on drugs and committing suicide. And this is why I own a Beatles album with all the four Beatles, including Pete Best rather than Ringo Starr. And then there were two others at the time, Stu Sutcliffe and Tony Sheridan. And I believe they died from drug overdoses as well. So read some more.
Jim Morrison.
Elvis. And wasn't he with the
Doors?
With the Doors. I believe he died of an overdose. And then what else?
Elvis Presley,
drugs. Then what?
Otis Redding.
Keep going.
Andy Gibb,
overdose of drugs. That isn't of the Lord, folks, is it?
No.
Okay, it's of the devil. Then we have, literally, there's hundreds of them that we have. Keep reading.
Jerry Garcia, Grateful Dead. John Bonham, Led Zeppelin. Selena. Bob Marley, Marvin Gaye.
Okay, the average age at death, including with these rock stars, their average age of dying is 36 years, 36.9 years. The average age of others' death in America is 75.8 years. So match that against 36.9. And Christians even have more age than 75 years old because they don't take those things. So the fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Proverbs 10:27. Note, this is every death of a rock star that this website found. This is not a rigid list. I know many other people that have died in the music business, more than what we have here, and we have several hundred. But this list to produce false, we don't produce false numbers, but an honest observation. Heart attacks, 42 people out of the amount that we have here. Drug overdose, 40 people. These are big stars. Miscellaneous medical, 37 people. Suicide, 36 people. Also, motorcycle crashes, 37 people. Cancer, 25 people. Airplane crashes, 22 people. Even one of my buddies, Ricky Nelson, died in a plane crash out in Arkansas. Unknown, 21 people. Murdered, 18 people. Those rap stars are killing one another. Alcohol, 21 people. Accident, 6 people. Drowning, 5 people, including one of the Beach Boys. Brain tumors, 4 people. AIDS, 4 people. Poisoned, 3 people. I mean, the list goes on and on. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. Leukemia, 3 people. Electrocution, 3 people. Stroke, 3 people. Fire, 3 people. Choked to death, 2 people. What's that one with the mamas and the papas? She was eating popcorn and drinking Pepsi, and she choked to death on it.
Cass Elliot.
Cass Elliot, yeah. And I just don't have time on this broadcast to mention all the souls that Satan has taken. And you can see these people, these young people, by the millions, hundreds of thousands, waving candles, say, in the dark, the satanic stuff. Yeah, they can do that, and they think they're going to live forever. Young people are not that bright. You ought to take this tape and play it for some people. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, read some more.
Freddie Mercury, Sid Vicious, Warren Zevon, Tupac Shakur, Notorious B.I.G.
And as I said, we have a list of many, many more. And as I said, the Bible is full of music, and that's because heaven is full of music. If you don't enjoy this heavenly inspired music that will keep you strong and keep you inspired and keep you up, resurrected by the Holy Spirit, you'll never get to heaven. So you'd never enjoy heaven if you went there. One of the first signs that you are coming to heaven will be when you hear the angels singing, or the spirit's leaving your body and you hear the singing of these massive amount of angels. Not only will the angels be singing, but the saints will be singing in the mighty choirs of heaven. Now, what a glorious and beautiful thing it will be. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Lionel Hampton was one who was anointed to hear in the spirit the anointed music of the kingdom of heaven, and composed and made it a reality available for other people to hear. He asked me, I remember when Sue and I were in Las Vegas, when we first were married, Lionel Hampton stated that he wanted me to publish and produce that music and to record it. And something happened that never happened. I know quite a bit about anointed music ever since I've been saved. Susie introduced me to most of it. So far, I've never written any music but gospel music, but people that are songwriters that have received messages or songs from my preaching the gospel, and many of them have received them just directly from the Holy Spirit that came unto them themselves. So therefore, they've taken lines, and with those lines, they have made compositions of godly music, scriptural music, gospel music. Just think how Lionel Hampton's study was in, standing in the tomb of David. He really wasn't studying. He was just standing in there. And the Spirit of the Lord came down. He said he could hear all this beautiful music. This happened when he was in Israel. And he started hearing this heavenly music coming down right in that tomb. So he took a pad and began writing it as if it were coming down to him, and him alone is what it was. These songs were given to Lionel Hampton by the Lord in many different kinds of situations and places. But he mentioned to Sue and myself that in the tomb of David was where he received his most glorious music. I would that I have seen it. I would have loved to have seen it, that he would have sent it to me, but he passed on. God had given Lionel Hampton these songs all over the place. I know many songwriters like Gary Paxson, H.P. Barnum, Dallas Frazier, and many other of these people that write gospel music, and I hope it's a host of others, that they received songs on boats, in automobiles, on planes, on buses, wherever they were, almost when they were almost sleeping, or they were sleeping. In their dreams, they would receive them on their knees praying, and then playing also their instruments, guitars or pianos, or while they were sitting in church at home while working at the workplace, while playing, and sometimes when they were the busiest of all times, and not even thinking about writing a song, but suddenly it just comes to them from heaven. Praise the Lord. They hear it in their soul, in their spiritual ears, and we do have spiritual ears. Sometimes it is just the melody, and sometimes it's words with the melody. Sometimes it's both. He has given these writers so many different songs, but some of them just don't write them down. Then there are ones like Gary Paxson. He writes the songs down and the words as well immediately. Also, he gets the arrangements in his spirit, in his soul, and that's why they are so very spiritual. Some people don't write them down, and just in a few minutes later, they forget them completely, and that's why people should carry a pad and paper with them. When I get messages, many times I tell people to come and get a paper and pen and start writing the things that I'm getting from the Lord down. So write the songs down if you get them. Some people record them, and some others forget them. Then they go back to them and find them again, and they can do something with them. But these are messages from the Lord, from the kingdom of heaven, and I thank the Lord for every one of them. I can tell when they are very anointed and when they're not. And no one receiving these messages from the Lord should take credit for any of them, because the music and the words are coming from heaven, from the Lord, which the Lord has given them. There isn't anything that we have that God that is godly, that is, that the Lord didn't give us, and therefore we have no right to boast about it. Then there's some producers and directors and songwriters that get messages, songs from the Lord, and then they also mix these messages with songs that are secular and very bad. It's good secular songs. So we're going to hear this music when we go to heaven, but we don't. The Lord does not want a mixture of the Holy Spirit and Satan's spirit mixed into the churches like you see today. They've got these demonic beats, and they're terrible. And the words. Woe unto the person that receives music and knows how to play instruments, and then they don't do it as unto the Lord. The music is what the Lord has given to these people. When I get to heaven, I'm going to listen to it, and I love to listen to it right here on earth. I've spent a lot of time every day picking and choosing the right music for every radio program. The largest book in the Bible is the Book of Psalms. It is really a book of Holy Spirit songs from the Lord, and they all make perfect godly messages. They're true, 100% truth. And the psalmist David got them from living, going through the fire. And they all are true. Most of the songs were put to music and were sung in the temple during feast days and times of revival. When the psalmist David, King David, composed his songs, he gave them to the musicians to perform. You can find that in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 7. And I see my time is up, but I'm going to continue with this. There's a lot of other things. Just remember that you can plainly see Satan doing his thing with the music today. And you can also, if you tune in gospel music, you can hear that as well. It's your choice, remember. It's your choice also to either accept Jesus, the kingdom of heaven, as a little infant, which we must do, the Bible says. Jesus said, so we must receive the kingdom of heaven as a little infant. And the way you do that, to feel the powerful God, Spirit of God to give you the power to turn your back on all the satanic things in this world and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I've told many people that I've handled in the music business, one being Rovan, to sing gospel songs. And he chose to sing at the in the casinos and places like that. Well, that was his choice. He died young of alcohol, cirrhosis of the liver. But right now, avoid all the things that you've seen people experience by not serving the Lord by saying this prayer and you'll be saved. Say to the Lord, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that you, Father, raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my former filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, I know, because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away. And that includes me. All that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, and praise you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just keep reading the word of God and let that infant, the kingdom of heaven, Lord Jesus, that entered into you with the Father by the Spirit to grow in you by reading the word and praising his name. Now share and tell the people in Radioland how to receive a copy of this tape, number 528, and please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, praise the Lord. Tune in tomorrow for another powerful message from the Lord and to show you the things that Satan is doing today to destroy many people's souls. Here's another Gary Paxton song. And Gloria Elliott is singing it. It's called Never Give Up. Never, never, never give up.
never give up. Jesus never gave up on you. My friend, never give up, never give up. His love will always see you through. Oh, never give up, never give up. You were lost, but now you're found. So never give up, never give up. The Lord will never let you down. You're walking along, just singing a song. Something goes wrong on your way. Oh, the sky seems so black 'cause you're on the wrong track. You say today is just not my day. Then you stumble and fall, but get up and stand tall. Don't throw your life away, because you're gonna grow up if you'll never give up. Yes, this is what I have to say. Never give up, never give up. Jesus never gave up on you. So never give up, never give up. His love will always see you through. Oh, never give up, never give up. You were lost, but now you're found. So never give up, never give up. The Lord will never let you down. Sometimes you trust in a friend to be there to the end, and then they turn their back on you. My Jesus waits there in line. He's been there all the time. He wants to help you through. So when you stumble and fall, the Lord will help you stand tall. You know He'll make a way. He'll even help you grow up if you'll never give up. This is what I have to say. Oh, never give up, never give up. Jesus never gave up on you. My friend, never give up. Don't you ever give up. His love will always see you through. Never give up, never give up. You were lost, but now you're found. So never give up, never give up. The Lord will never let you down. Oh, never give up. Don't you ever give up. The Lord will never let you down. The Lord will never let you down.
Never, 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 never give up.